Greetings. This is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're looking at discipleship training in Luke's Gospel, and this is Lesson 7, Jesus' Rejection at Nazareth, based on Luke chapter 4, verses 20 to 30. Let's pray. Our Father, again, we ask you to open our hearts. Cleanse our hearts, O Lord, so that we can hear truth and not reject it deep down. Help us to embrace truth. Speak to us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm reading Luke chapter 4, verses 20b through 30. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' I tell you the truth," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy at the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him up to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went his way. Something in me wants to skip over parts of the Bible that are downers. I don't like negativity. Give me something upbeat, positive, and I'm happy. But sometimes vital lessons are found in the hard times of our lives. Jesus' rejection in his own hometown holds two important lessons for disciples. Jesus, fresh from a preaching and healing campaign in Galilee, has returned to Nazareth after an absence of many months. He left a commoner. He returns a celebrity. On the Sabbath, he is invited to read from the sacred scrolls and comment on the text. Nazareth would see what kind of teacher he had become. Jesus reads from Isaiah 61, 1 through 5, about the Spirit of God anointing him to preach good news, heal and set free, and then says, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing," verse 21. The reaction in the synagogue that Sabbath was one of astonishment. Luke says they were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. The word amazed is Greek thaumatzo, wonder, marvel, be astonished. The context determines whether in a good or bad sense. Apparently, they had never heard Jesus as a public speaker, as a teacher. His life among them had been as a carpenter, never a public figure. This was an entirely new role, and they were, as Matthew and Mark put it, astonished, Greek explesso, be amazed, overwhelmed. Jesus' gracious words were impressive. But was this the astonishment of appreciation or of skepticism? At first glance, we're not sure. The NIV translates verse 22, "All spoke well of him." The word "spoke" is the imperfect tense of the Greek martyreo, to bear witness, be a witness, then bear witness to, declare, confirm, then testify favorably, speak well of, approve of. But Marshall points out that the word can also be used in the sense to bear witness against, to condemn. Perhaps there was a wave of approval followed by a muttering, "Is this not Joseph's son?" The congregation's quickness to pigeonhole Jesus as Joseph's son shows that their paradigm was unable to view Jesus in any other context than as a member of a Nazareth family. They may have been thinking of the scandalous events surrounding his birth. After all, this was a small town, and people talk. Matthew and Mark record other comments of the crowd. This is Matthew 13:54-56. "Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers?" they asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? Aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? They were amazed, but skeptical. Sure, he was good with words, but how could he really be worthy of the acclaim and adulation he had met with elsewhere in Galilee? The congregation took offense at him, according to Matthew and Mark. Jesus sensed the unbelief and skepticism in the room that day. The congregation made no attempt to hide their feelings. Jesus' next comments confront this anti-faith. Verses 23 to 24. Surely you will quote this proverb to me, Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard you did in Capernaum. I tell you the truth, he continued. No prophet is accepted in his hometown. Though this exact saying isn't recorded elsewhere, the words, Physician, heal yourself, are plain enough. It's similar to our proverb, which observes that cobbler's children go barefoot. Probably, the townspeople are applying the words to Jesus' hometown versus other towns where Jesus had performed healings. In other words, they are saying, you've healed elsewhere, how about in your own hometown? The skepticism in Nazareth was so pervasive that Mark records, Mark 6:5-6, he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed by their lack of faith. Have you ever wondered why your family doesn't accept your ardent faith? They know you too well. They remember your past, perhaps, and don't believe you've changed. Though Jesus' family finally came around, his townspeople never did. Sometimes faith means a lonely life. In response to his townsmen's open skepticism, Jesus refers to two stories of how God blessed two non-Jewish individuals at a time when many Jews had needs that went unmet. Jesus tells of the widow at Zarephath, a village on the coast of present-day Lebanon near Sidon. The prophet Elijah had stayed with her and her son during the 3.5-year drought that preceded his victory over the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. The widow's small jar of flour and tiny jug of oil were not depleted, though they fed the three of them for years. Later, when the widow's son died, Elijah's prayers revived him from the dead. No Israelites received such blessing. Then Jesus told of Nahum, general of the army of Israel's enemy, Aram, whose capital was Damascus. Nahum had contracted leprosy and heard that the prophet Elisha in Israel had power to heal. At Elisha's word, Nahum had dipped 7 times in the Jordan, and after the 7th time, his leprosy was healed and his skin restored like that of a child. There were many lepers in Israel at the time, commented Jesus, but only the foreigner Nahum was healed. Jesus' clear implication was that the Israelites in these eras were not unworthy of these miracles, and so God bestowed miracles on outsiders who believed. It was a not-so-veiled commentary on the faith Jesus perceived in Nazareth. Outside this village, Jesus had performed amazing miracles, but the unbelief in Nazareth was too thick. Even though they wanted to see a miracle show, they were neither worthy nor ready. A prophet wasn't honored in his hometown. The resentment and skepticism that seethed beneath the surface now erupted in anger and murder. The congregation rose from their Sabbath synagogue worship intent to kill their homegrown teacher. They drove Jesus out of the building and out of the village. The Greek word drove or thrust is Greek ekbalo, a violent word that means drive out, expel, literally throw out, more or less forcibly. The phrase took him to the brow of the hill uses the Greek verb ago. Its basic meaning is to lead, but here it is used as a legal technical term, lead away, take into custody, arrest. It is sometimes used of arraignment and trial, as well as transport of a prisoner or conducting a condemned man to execution. Though the cliff referred to in this passage hasn't been identified, Nazareth is built on the edge of a mountain. To the west, the ground drops very rapidly to the fertile Jezreel Valley below. Without hearing or trial, and in violation of both Jewish and Roman law, his townspeople intended to kill him by throwing him over a precipice, perhaps as a prelude to stoning. Was Jesus justified in his judgment of their worthiness, faith, and character? Obviously. Though they forced him to the cliff, they couldn't throw him over. Jesus just walked away, through the crowd and out of town, never, so far as we know, to return to his hometown. It wasn't his time for martyrdom. That was 3 years hence. But the anger in Nazareth prefigured the anger and resentment that finally killed Jesus. In this downbeat story, I see two lessons for disciples. One, rejection is part of following Jesus. Sometimes we believe that if we witness flawlessly or live perfectly, everyone will like us. Not so. If they rejected Jesus, we can expect to be rejected sometimes too. Stop second-guessing yourself so much. Instead of focusing on what others think, seek to follow what the Lord shows you to do, and let the chips fall where they may. Number two lesson, rejection is likely to come from those closest to us. By God's grace, some of us see our families won to Christ by our testimony, but many don't. A prophet still has no honor in his own country. Did any good come? Yes, even Jesus' crucifixion released the power of redemption and healing and resurrection that is still resounding and echoing around the world. Anger and evil do not ultimately prevail. It was necessary for Jesus to go to his own people in Nazareth and to his larger people, the Jews, even though he knew he would be rejected. Though Jesus knew that Isaiah 53 applied to him, yet through it, he saw the promise that is fulfilled through suffering. Jesus' disciple John sums it up best, John 1:10-12. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Let's pray. Lord, you know how I hate rejection, how I go way out of my way to avoid being or feeling rejected. Help me to grow out of it. Give me courage to face those who distrust, dislike, or resent me, who look down on me, who think they have me figured out. Help me to love them while refusing to compromise my integrity. Forgive me where I've been afraid. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.